encourage you to go in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, please. As I have a tendency to do, messages that I preach are often in series. And last week, we talked about a key principle of growth is understanding that change. By definition, change is a defining principle of growth. We looked at Ephesians chapter 4. We talked about how there is it's the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ that is the standard. And we are to be no longer children. But there's this idea of maturing. And the question is am I growing? Is there growth in my life as a Christian? Is there observable change that is evident there in my life? Does God see that change? So corresponding with all of that, you know, yes, Pastor, it's important that I am growing, but how do I grow? How do I grow? I understand, Pastor, that you put a seed in the ground, and you have to put it in the right kind of soil, and you got to water it, and it grows. It happens. I understand that, but we're talking about here. I am a follower of the Lord Jesus, and I see and I get the fact that I need to be growing. And in fact, I want to grow, but how do I grow? How is that a something that can happen in my life? So it's a very practical question that I think we need to address. And as we do so, if change, by definition, is a defining principle of growth, then nourishment is necessary for growth. Just like a seed and a plant needs water and the sun to nourish itself so that it can grow, so we need nourishment for our souls. The Bible helps us by using these plant farming illustrations so that we can picture this growth. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we read in verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may, what? Grow thereby. How do I grow? How? This seems way too simple, doesn't it? You would think that there needs to be this whole conglomeration of all kinds of things, but how do I grow? Now, you're looking at your Bibles there, and you see it says, as newborn babes. Let's just start with that picture for a moment. Newborn babes. Babies come out, and they're little, and they're cute, they're crying. And they're crying because what? Because they're hungry. Usually they're hungry. And these babies have a desire for mama's milk. They have a desire to suck, to be fed, and to be nourished. Now this is across the board, across cultures around the world. When babies are born, this is what happens. I mean, this is one of those universal things, you know, across the world. Like the smile, it's pretty universal communication that things are okay between us. Could you imagine getting into a tribe where it's not? Oh, boy. So it's pretty universal, right? That when a baby is born, it needs nourishment. And God has provided the woman with the means to be able to meet that need through her breasts. And so, therefore, milk is provided naturally right there to provide nourishment for this baby. And so one of the first things that takes place is that baby is laid onto the mother, onto her breast, so that the baby can nurse. And I hope that you've had the opportunity just to you know, fathers, just to be able to watch that first moment. It's an incredible experience, and just see that God has designed this all to work, and it works. I know there are times when there is issues, and some of you have probably dealt with that, but you understand the illustration here is this newborn babes. Get the picture in your head. A newborn babe is needy. And what they need is they need nourishment, and they know where that nourishment comes from. It comes from their mother. And then God put all of that together. So he says initially here, as newborn babes. So church, you're getting that in your mind. And then he says, desire the sincere milk of the word. The newborn babe has the desire for the milk. And so church, assume yourself, place yourself in that position as a newborn babe and have that kind of appetite, that kind of desire for the word of God. I've talked with folks recently. I've talked with a gentleman about how he has tried reading the Bible. And it's just nothing there. Hear me out on this. It doesn't do anything for him. It's bland. He doesn't understand it. I get that. I understand that. The incredible thing is that he keeps coming back and talking with me about this and asking questions. And there is, and I love it. I keep telling him this. I think God's after you. He's after you. But I get your concern. I understand, because the Bible, yes, if you don't have God opening up your eyes, then yes, it's black and white on a page. Black words on a page. And it's difficult sometimes to understand it. And one of the things that when he asked me this question, we were talking about this, that the Lord brought this to mind. When you approach the Word of God from the standpoint of relationship, it makes a whole, it opens your eyes to all these truths. Because if I'm in a relationship with the author, if I'm in a relationship with God, and this is his word, then I want to interact with him because we're in a relationship together. Because he wants to communicate truth into my life, and I want to hear what the truth is from the Almighty God. It's not a mistake that Peter here is writing to the church, and he's speaking in the terms of relationship, the relationship between a newborn and its mother. And in that context of that relationship, there is this insatiable desire, this desire to be nourished. And so as Christians, we truly are in a relationship with the Almighty God. And Peter here takes this and he says, desire the sincere, the genuine milk of the Word. The baby can only handle the milk. And I know that there are other passages that say you shouldn't just be satisfied with the milk, but you should progress to the meat. And I get that, but that's not the point here. The point of here is, how am I going to grow? I get nourished by the Word of God. I get nourished by the Word of God. You know, when Jesus gave the Great Commission to his disciples, in his mind and in our mind, the goal is the multiplication of growing disciples of Jesus. In other words, we should be reproducing ourselves. And we are to be growing disciples of Jesus. But I will tell you something, if we do not dig into the Word, we're not going to grow. We're not going to grow. And here's the sad truth of it all. Too many Christians are okay with that. Too many Christians are just, they're just satisfied with where they are. Follow that through with the illustration, a newborn baby. Newborn baby comes out and they're just okay with where they are. You know what happens to that baby, right? It's not going to grow. It's going to die. See, the power of the Word of God is when you take it. So right now, it's before you. It's being preached. So you take it and you say, okay, where am I in all this? Where am I? Do I have a desire for the sincere milk of the Word? Well, let's backtrack. Do I believe this to be the Word of God? That's a good start, right? Do I believe this to be the Word of God? Because otherwise, if it's not the Word of God, then I'm not going to have this longing for it. I'm going to question, is this where I'm supposed to go, or am I supposed to go to this book over here? Or am I supposed to go to this person, or this teaching, or this TV program, or whatever? Listen, the world's going to offer you all kinds of pseudo-nourishment. And they're going to plaster it on the billboards before your eyes. This is what you need. But did you hear the Word of God? What? The sincere, genuine milk of the Word of God. So do you believe this to be the Word of God? If you don't believe this to be the Word of God, then okay. That's a place to begin. That's a place for you to begin to explore and to ask God to confirm in your heart and to bring you to that belief. You see, Christianity is by faith. But say you believe this to be the Word of God, just like the baby understands and smells and understands that there is milk there, and that's what I need and that's what I want. What about you? So you believe this to be the Word of God, but maybe there's this disconnect between I believe this to be the Word of God, but I don't have the desire for it. You know, what that speaks of is it's the idea of being choked, being entangled. There is this myriad of things that are going to confuse your senses, spiritual senses. And perhaps that's where you are. Perhaps you're going to all of these different places for nourishment. You still believe this is to be the Word of God, but you don't believe it to be the supreme authority in your life. And if you don't believe it to be the supreme authority in your life, the question is, what kind of faith do you have? Do you have a fear of the Lord Himself? On Wednesday evenings, I'm teaching through the book of Ezra. It's a book we don't go to very often, and sometimes I just like diving into the obscure just to learn and refresh my own heart, and you get the benefits. But it's funny, and so one of the places there in Ezra is Ezra has reached the, he's come, returned back to Jerusalem, brought some people back and some gifts and for the work of the temple, and it's come to his attention that there is sin in the people, amongst the people. And there is a group of people that gather around him, and the scripture says that these are people who fear the Word of God. They are people that have this kind of understanding of what God's Word is. It is authority. It is power. It is God's truth. And so therefore, it ought to have an effect in my life. I tremble before it. I respect and reverence it. Wow. This, of course, leads Ezra into a prayer of confession. They have a respect for the word of God. The newborn baby has absolutely a respect for the nourishment of this milk and goes and clings to it and longs for it. And when the appetite arises, it finds satisfaction in that place. Where do you go? Where do you go, church, Christian? When the appetite arises, when the need is there in your life, when the fears come, where do you go? Where do you turn? If you're not turning to the Word of God, then do not expect to be growing as a believer in Christ, as a Christian. So the obvious point, I believe, of what God is seeking, what God is telling us today, is you need to nourish yourself in the Word of God. This is a message that most of you have probably heard over and over and over again. You could look at me, you can tell me, Pastor, I know I need to spend time in the Word of God. Are you? And let me ask you this. When you are doing so, are you approaching the Word of God for nourishment? Or are you just approaching the Word of God out of duty? The baby comes to the breast not because it has to, but because it wants to. Because it has a need that needs to be satisfied, and it knows that's where it's at. And we as Christians, as people, have a need in our lives for a regular diet of God's Word and of God's truth. You need it personally in your life. Your marriage needs it. Your family needs it. This church needs it. The world needs you to be nourished so that they will hear the truth. So it's going to start in your heart, individual, in my life, as we embrace this truth, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. So what are some biblical suggestions or instructions for our growth? In other words, what are some areas that we might consider as areas to we can look at and say, yes, I see growth happening? How can the Word of God infiltrate my life? And what happens when it infiltrates my life? I'm nourishing myself with the Word of God. What should I expect to see? Fair? Here are some thoughts or some truths that I found. What about a growth in love? Turn over to your close in Hebrews chapter 10. Now, as we think about this idea of nourishment, you're going to see in this passage that nourishment comes from the Word of God. And you're going to see an exhortation in this passage for the assembling of yourselves together. You know what that means, don't you? That means that God wants us to be together in worship and under the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God for nourishment. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love. Oh. To provoke unto love. 2 Thessalonians, stay in Hebrews 10, because we're going to go through this passage. But 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith grows exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounds." So what's growth going to look like in my life? It's going to look like an abounding love. A love that is growing. Philippians 1:9 says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." Now Hebrews 10:24 continues and says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." So as we think about, as we're growing here, you'll notice that there's this provoking unto love and good works. Now, good works, whatever good works is mentioned in our circles as Christians, right? We're like, uh-oh. Whoa. We're not saved by good works. Okay, can we get a witness on that? Yes, we're not saved by good works. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't talk about doing good works after we're saved. This is to be our modus operandi. We are to be living a life of good works. Good works are not a bad thing. And we need to talk about them. And you notice how it says provoke one another unto? And it gives these things. Unto love. So I should be helping you to love. And you should be helping me to love. We should be pushing each other to love. In our youth group, right? You guys are going to help the young people to understand how to love. And how to do good works. How to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord so it's seen and experienced by others. Yeah. So what do we talk about? When we nourish ourselves with the Word of God, we're going to see a love that starts to come out and abound. We're going to see good works that are starting to come forth and increasing. And this is exciting. This is growth. What else do we see here? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching." Uh-oh. If we're nourishing ourselves with the Word of God, then what are we going to be seeing? We're going to be seeing a desire to be with God's people. We're going to be experiencing this longing for fellowship. To receive the exhortations from one another. To be comforted by one another's love and affection. To be encouraged by hearing another brother or sister say, "The Lord is coming soon." I hope you are refreshed by your time together. This is a refreshment to my heart. In fact, this is something I can't imagine what life would be like if I didn't have you. And I mean that. What would I do on the weekend? Where would I go? And I mean this. Think about what would you do? Some of you have really felt this. You've been sick. And you haven't been able to come to church. And what has been the experience within? There's this ache. I'm not there. You see, the nourishment of the Word of God places within you the desire to be with God's people. And to receive the ministry of the Word and the exhortation from the saints. as I nourish myself with God's word, I'll see an abounding love, growing works, and a desire to fellowship. You know, don't be afraid to dig into the word. These are good things. These are things of growth. And you know what? Did you ever experience growing pains? I never did because I obviously I didn't do much. But some of you are tall. Some of my boys, they're just growing. And they're experiencing their pains in their knees and their ankles and you know, these growing pains, right? Those are good things. I'm trying to tell them. This is good. Bear through it. But we'll have growing pains. These times when God is growing us, and so therefore He's pushing us. He's pushing us into areas or things that are new or challenging for us, things we've never done before. I've enjoyed watching some of you experience some of the growing pains of growth in the Lord. Seeing you take on new opportunities of serving in the church, and you never did it before, but you said, yes, I'm going to try it this year. And it's a new experience, and you're nervous about it, but you took the step, and you're doing it, and you're experiencing the growing pains, but you're growing. Amen. So as we continue, how about chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 26. For if we sin willfully after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despises Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongs unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What happens when we expose ourselves to the truth of the Word of God? Our sin is brought to bear. It is revealed. It is shown who we really are, and we have an increased fear of our Almighty God. This is repentance of sin. If you're going to nourish yourself in the Word of God, then you're going to expect to notice and realize sin sooner, be convicted, and experience the grace and wonder of repentance and forgiveness as you apply the wondrous truths of God's word. You should expect repentance of sin. That's growth. It is a fearful thing, it says, to fall into the hands of the living God. How are you going to get to know that living God? You dig into his word. And you're going to come to realize he's serious. Yeah, he is. And he is judge and he is king. But you're also going to understand and realize that through Jesus' blood, you have forgiveness of sin. And so I can have confidence. Even though I have sinned, I can come to him, confess my sin, and he will cleanse me. He'll give me his righteousness. Nourish yourself with the Word of God. Continuing in Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. If you're going to nourish yourself with the word of God, you can expect an increased endurance of trials. I mean, do you hear what he's saying here? For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. You see, the word of God tells us the way it is. The word of God tells us that we will experience trials and tribulations in this life. But the Bible also provides for us the view of hope and future, of deliverance and salvation. And so no matter the afflictions now, we can endure. We can bear up under these afflictions and trials. But if you refuse to nourish yourself with the word of God, then you are pushing aside the wondrous promises. You're choosing to be ignorant and in the dark. But dear friends, if you embrace it, if you take it in and you're seeing what God has said and his promises and his truth, then you are equipped because the trials will come. And you know who will carry you through. Growing in love and good works, repentance of sin, endurance and trials. Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Verse 38, now the just shall live by what? Faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you're going to nourish yourself in the word of God, then you could expect a growing faith. A growing faith. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith grows exceedingly. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7 says, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Nourish yourself with the word of God and experience a growing faith. We could continue looking at other places that speak of grace, like 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We could talk about hope. We could talk about giving. We could talk about life. The point, I believe, today is that not only is the question posed, are you growing? But do you understand that the Word of God answers the question how you can grow? And it's up to you to nourish yourself with the word of God. In closing, I share this passage from 2 Peter chapter 1. It goes this way, Verse 5, it says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." Verse 8, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things," hear this, "is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Lord, we thank you for the word of God. And I thank you for telling us how to grow. God, take your word. Challenge our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.